As we begin for this evening to wind down our series in the book of Proverbs, getting close to sermon number 31, I ask you please to turn with me in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31, as we come to consider for this evening, the first 9 verses of this chapter under the heading of Learning from Lemuel's Mother. I ask you to please note with me what we read, picking up at verse 1. Proverbs chapter 31, please follow with me as I read verses 1 to 9 in your hearing. The writer says, "The words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him. What, my son, and what, son of my womb, and what, son of my vows? Do not give your strength to women, nor your ways to that which destroys kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes intoxicating drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the justice of all the afflicted. Give strong drink to him who is perishing and wine to those who are bitter of heart. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. Open your mouth for the speechless in the cause of all who are appointed to die. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy." And before we come to our passage for this evening, dear brothers and sisters, let's once again pray and ask the Lord's blessings on our time. Let's pray. Our Father, we would look to you and pray, O God, that as with Enoch of old, we would always walk with you. That all of our days, O God, would be characterized with these words, that we walked with God. O Lord, help it to be so. That we would walk with you and not others in this world. That above all, we would walk with you, O God, following all that you've called us to do in your most holy and blessed word. O God, and as we consider that great statement concerning your servant of old, Lord, we ask that tonight your word would help us to that very end. Lord, that you would teach us in the inner man so that we might walk after thee, that we might serve you better, that all of us in this place would give more of ourselves for your truth, honor, and glory. O God, we beseech you this evening as a congregation that you, as it were, would rend the heavens and speak for your servants. Listen. O God, that you would drive away distraction and impart light and truth. Guide us, we pray, O great Jehovah, and may your name be honored in all that we do and say. We ask all of these things in that mediatorial name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. If there's one thing that we learn from history, it's that many remarkable people in the world have been richly blessed by what they've learned at the knees of their mother. As we think about some of the greatest people who ever lived, be that in church history or just in history in general, many of them attribute their success in life to the influence that came from their moms. Now, of course, from a Christian perspective, we could think about such notable names as Charles Haddon Spurgeon and John and Charles Wesley. All of these men, if you read their writings, gave thanks and praise to God for their mothers who diligently instructed them, and their instruction was even used of the Lord to lead these men to himself. Additionally, as I mentioned, concerning the impact that mothers have had on the lives of those outside of church history, it was President George Washington who himself said that, quote, "All that I am, I owe to my mother." And it was British Prime Minister Winston Churchill who said, quote, "The greatest of my teachers was my mother." Well, along with these individuals acknowledging the great impact that their mothers had on their lives, another person who could be added to this venerable list was King Lemuel, who in our text for this evening has left us some of his mother's instruction to him. Here in the words of our passage, which, by the way, are the only recorded admonitions from a mother to a son in this book, we have preserved for us instruction that was given to a king from a mother. And being that these words are part of the inspired and inerrant word of God, they must be for all of our benefit as believers. Now, dear brothers and sisters here this evening, as you might recall from my first sermon in this book over a year ago, as Solomon began the book of Proverbs, he did so with the instruction that a father gave to his son. And yet here now in Proverbs chapter 31, he ends the book with the instruction that a mother gave to him. Well, here then we see that a Proverbs chapter 31 forms somewhat of a bookend to this entire collection of sacred writing. And this fact reinforces to us a central truth to the whole book, which is the primary place of learning for our children is to be the home, and that primarily their instruction is to be given to them from their mothers and fathers. Well, dear friends here this evening, I trust that as Christian parents, we all agree that according to the Bible, we are the ones who are primarily responsible to train our children in the ways they should go. Oh, dear friends, according to Scripture, thinking here, for example, of Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 and following, and Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, God has given us, Christian parents, the sacred charge of being the instructors of our offspring, teaching them diligently all of the commands of the Lord. Friends, as Christian parents, we are to teach our children about the fear of God, which is the beginning of wisdom, Proverbs chapter 1. As Christian parents, we are to teach our children about God's holy law and how they have violated God's law through their own rebellion against Him. And thus they are guilty before Him and must be punished by Him for their sins. And as Christian parents, we must also teach our children about the fact that even though this is true, God in great grace and in great love sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into the world to die on the cross of Calvary in the place of sinners as their substitute, bearing God's wrath and judgment due them in their place, shedding His blood that all of our sins might be righteously pardoned before Him. Well, these then are some of the main, some of the central things that we must regularly be teaching our children as Christian parents. A brethren of Grace Community Baptist Church here this evening, the God of the Bible has assigned all of us the great task of communicating His truth to our families. And this is what we must regularly do with His help and His unfailing grace. Now, along with all that I just said, there are obviously other things that our children need to know if they are going to do well in life with reference to living how God would have them to live. There are other areas of instruction which they need to be taught in, and this is why Lemuel's mother gave him this teaching which is before us this evening. Now, why did she do this? I mean, was it because she was just a nagging and persistent mother? Was it because that she was just a domineering woman who always had to have someone under her thumb instructing them in the ways of God? Well, obviously not. Obviously, she taught her son out of a deep concern for him that he would be a godly man and be a successful leader. Obviously, that's why she did it. Obviously, she did what she did because she knew the pitfalls of men and that worldly and ungodly influences would in fact be his ruin. Obviously, I trust you agree, this is why she did it. Out of a true concern for him, she spoke out of a heart which wanted to see him successful in all areas of life. She opened her mouth and imparted wisdom to him. Here then we see that according to Jesus' own words in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 34, that in fact, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And as we come to consider Lemuel's mother's instruction to her son in this first part of this two-part proverb, I ask you to note with me first in your Bibles in verses 1 and 2, her questions. Look again at the text. It says, the words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him. What, my son, and what, son of my womb, and what, son of my vows. Now, as we begin to consider these words here, we must begin by answering the critical question, which is, who in the world was King Lemuel? Now, if you were to check the various commentators at this point, you would see that they're all over the map concerning who he was. However, I'll set forth for you the two main popular views, which are that he was either one, a pagan king, since his name is not mentioned among the other Israelite kings who resided in Judah or Israel. Or second, that he was actually King Solomon, and that Lemuel was a pet name that his mother Bathsheba gave him, being a term of endearment, a name which meant devoted or belonging to God. Well, friends, whichever the case, really, the important thing here is that we have preserved for us in sacred scripture the words that his mother gave him, whoever he was, and we can't be sure because the Bible doesn't tell us. The key point is that the utterances, literally the oracles or the sayings that he received, he communicated them to us, and they in fact were true because they're in the Word of God, and God wanted us to have these utterances in his holy book. Well, notice with me then in verse 2. The specific questions themselves, and here in the Hebrew text, these exclamations are very emphatic, stressing just how impassionate his mother was when she said them to Lemuel. Here, as his mother was seeking to grab his attention, she used a threefold series of pithy sentences to help him to feel the full weight of what she was about to say to him. Lemuel writes that his mother said, note the words again, what, my son, and what, son of my womb, and what, son of my vows. I trust then that you can see in how I have expressed it and how it reads here in our passage. How concerned and how full of passion his mom was as she asked these questions to him. Here with the repetition of the words, what and son, it's as if she was almost beside herself as she seeks to make her points to Lemuel concerning warning him against the various sins that he might fall into. And so here, just to modernize the sense of the word so that you can get a sense for what she was saying to him, think of them like this. My son, tell me. My child, who I brought into the world. You who are part of me. Who I carried for 9 months. You who are of my own flesh. What are you thinking? You who I vowed before God to bring you up in His ways. You who I devoted to the Lord, as Hannah of old did concerning Samuel, even as your name means, Lemuel, devoted to God. My son, will you really choose the wrong ways in life? What, my son? What, son of my womb? What, son of my vows? And so you see, with her heart in her hand, she thus spoke. With the spiritual welfare of her child in view, she earnestly spoke to him for his own good. And any parent here who knows what it's like having a child before them who's thinking about going in the ways of sin knows exactly what this woman was expressing. Is that correct? It's exactly correct. What? Why? What benefit would it be for you, is what she's saying. Here, as Lemuel records his mother's words to him, the sense in what she said was meant to awaken him to seriously think about the follies of forsaking the way of truth. And so, having told us her arresting questions to him, Lemuel goes on in the following verses to give us her command, showing us some of her central areas of concern for him. Here in verses 3 to 9 of this chapter, she speaks about three major matters, two negative and one positive. And so first, note with me in verse 3, her warning about giving his strength to women. Here she says to him, note the words again in your Bibles, do not give your strength to women, nor your ways to that which destroys kings. Now, of course, in saying these words to her son, Lemuel's mom was not saying anything against him acquiring a godly wife for himself. No, this is not the sense at all. In fact, this is something that he should do, since, as we're told in verse 10 of this chapter, that the worth of a virtuous woman is far above rubies. And he should do this because in Proverbs 18 and verse 22, we read that he that finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. And so, having said what it does not mean, what does it mean then when she speaks here in these warnings, or in this warning, about literally handing over his strength to women? Well, the word strength here refers to physical powers or might. The Hebrew word refers to vigor. And so the idea is that while, in fact, if he got married, he should wholly give himself to his wife, here the point is that he shouldn't do this with anyone else in this regard. Now, of course, specifically, as the case seems to be here, as an unmarried king, Lemuel would have been tempted to give much of his time to be sexually involved with women. Kings at this time would have had many women at their beckoning, ready to be with them. However, his mother counseled him, saying that living a life of sexual immorality would be extremely unwise. She says that to spend the best of his energies being caught up with nothing but living after the flesh would be that which would be extremely unprofitable for him. Here his mother taught him not to give his strength to women in this manner. And then he said in 3b, nor his ways to that which destroys kings, which in this setting seems to be another reference to sexual sin, thus through this Hebrew parallelism, reinforcing all that she just said. I pause then, in light of this verse, to say, what a word we have here to young men in our day who are so often caught up with sexual consumption and the pursuit of intimacy. I say, what a word we have here to all the young people in this place and older people alike, be that man or woman, who are constantly going after the flesh, not seeing that such things should never be our highest pursuits in life? Well, again, as I said earlier, having a wife and enjoying her, a wife, is good and right. While delighting in the wife of one's youth is highly commendable, even as Solomon speaks of in chapter 5 of this book. However, dear ones, to make this the goal of one's existence, instead of exercising self-control and pursuing the advancement of the kingdom of God, is a waste of time. It is to go after trouble, just as was in the case in the lives of such people as Samuel, David, and Solomon himself, who, by this sin, caused the rendering of his kingdom, as we read in 1 Kings 11, in verse 11. And that was Samson, who I meant to say there. And so here again, Lemuel was commanded by his mother not to give his best to such activities. Again, such people as Samson and David. And again, Solomon himself, they paid greatly for these pursuits. Here, King Lemuel was charged by his mom to avoid such pursuits at all costs. And so, having stated his mother's word to him against women, notice with me next in verses 4 to 7, her word to him against wine. Here again, in strongly pleading with her son, Lemuel's mother does this very emphatically by way of two negatives, saying first in verse 4, note the words again, it is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes intoxicating drink. Now, of course, in saying these words to him, she was not at all giving him a universal prohibition against drinking any alcohol. As a matter of fact, for an ancient king at this time not to drink alcohol would have been completely foreign in the ancient world, many of them keeping alcohol right in their own cellars, in their palaces. And so the sense here is really what the Bible says in many other places, namely that drunkenness is sin, and it also is to be avoided by us at all costs. You see, while in fact it's true that according to Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 1, wine is a mocker and strong drink is a brawler, and whoever is led astray by it is not wise, that's true. At the same time, the Bible never forbids a believer from drinking, and in some places, alcohol is described in positive terms, saying, for example, in Psalm 104 and verse 15, that wine makes the heart of men glad. And in the New Testament, of course, in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 23, Timothy was encouraged to use a little wine for his stomach problems and frequent infirmities. However, back to the point. Since being a king would have given Lemuel access to much wine and intoxicating drinks, his mother spoke to him very forthrightly about this matter. Here she said that it was not fitting for him to be drunk. As a matter of fact, it would be very unbecoming and dishonoring for him. And so, what was the specific reason for this? Why should kings not give themselves to excessive wine and intoxicating drink? Well, we're given the answer to the question in verse 5. When his mother said to him, note the language again, lest, or in case, they drink and forget the law and pervert the justice of all the afflicted. Now, here is where we see, brethren, that the concern of Lemuel's mother with reference to the use of wine was not arbitrary. Rather, it was moral. It was religious, and it was connected to righteousness. You see, dear brothers and sisters, the point of the matter is, since Lemuel's mother understood that a king was not to have his judgment impaired so that he could not make good decisions in his kingdom and with his people, since she understood that those who get drunk often forget about the law, whether the law of the land or the law of God, and pervert or change the justice of those who are afflicted, she spoke to him in this way. Lemuel, it is not for kings. It is not for kings to become drunk, nor for princes intoxicating drink. Dear friends, since she knew the horrors of a drunken ruler, and that God had entrusted her son with a sacred stewardship as king, she called him to be temperate in all things, as all godly leaders are to be. Well, lastly, under this heading, in somewhat of a tongue-in-cheek manner, Lemuel tells us that his mother said to him in verses 6 and 7, "Give strong drink to him who is perishing," that is to say, those who are dying, "and wine to those who are bitter of heart. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more." Now, as I said, to me, personally, these words are set forth somewhat as a tongue-in-cheek statement, that is to say, words which are not really to be taken seriously. And I say this because I don't see anything in the Bible which encourages those who are down and out to drown themselves in their sorrows. No, friends, to me, this idea is completely foreign to Scripture, and to read this passage like this is to do, I think, great damage to the Word of God. This idea, as I said, is foreign to the Bible. Therefore, I completely agree with the Hebrew scholar, Dr. Bruce Waltke, when he said concerning our passage that the mother is not recommending intoxicants as either medicine or a reminder to show love or a stimulant or to bring pleasantness and cheerfulness to the dying. And so you see, dear ones, that while most commentators suggest that in these words, Lemuel's mother was presenting to him the positive side of the use of alcohol, as I mentioned earlier, that is to say, through its use, some refreshment and joy will come to those who are downcast again. I think the language here is better understood as what we can call legitimate biblical sarcasm. Well, whichever the case, whatever view one chooses, I still think that the point for Lemuel is the same, and it is that he is never to be given over to indulgence. Since he was not one who was perishing or one who was in poverty, he was to act like a king. And this by always having a saneness and sobriety about him. And so, having commanded her son not to give his strength to women, nor himself to strong drink, notice with me finally now positively in verses 8 and 9 of this chapter, the command to give himself to the speechless and the poor. Having said what he shouldn't do, now she says what he should do. And as she does, she says to him again, note the words, "Open your mouth for the speechless. In the case of all who are appointed to die, open your mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy." Now we have here in these words two more commands which were given to Lemuel from his mother. And really, they were meant to show him that it's crucial for a king to have compassion as he exercises rule in his land. And so first, in verse 8a, she calls him to open his mouth for the speechless, the point being, as a good and righteous ruler, he was to speak up for those who were unable to speak. You see, the point is, a king who was to rule with equity, as God called him to, as one whose throne was to be established in truth as God's throne was, if for any reason a person was unable to speak up for himself, perhaps because of a physical disability or they were too poor to have a lawyer, etc., Lemuel was to give a voice for them. He was to speak for their cause, especially for those who were appointed to die, as we read in 8b. Now, of course, as somewhat of a side note here, I think of a very contemporary issue in this regard, and it's concerning the whole matter of abortion. Abortion, as you know, is the deliberate termination of a human pregnancy, and through it, a life is taken. My dear brothers and sisters, as you are well aware, every day throughout this land, thousands of helpless and voiceless babies are murdered in the womb, and this typically in the name of convenience. And therefore, I'm very thankful that even in our own congregation, there are those who give time to crisis pregnancy centers in order to stand up for those who cannot be heard from the womb and yet whose blood cries out from the ground for justice. This pro-life matter, dear brothers and sisters, is something that we ought to give some more attention to. It's something which, although must never replace or contend with the preaching of the gospel, is quite obviously important to God, and it should therefore be important to us. Well, having given Lemuel this instruction in verse 8 that he must plead for those who could not plead their own case, we're told lastly again in verse 9 that Lemuel's mother said to him, "Open your mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy." Now, in saying these words here to her son, really, the queen mother, if you will, was giving him his royal judicial responsibilities as a king. Here is one writer notes, according to Lemuel's mother, equity, not aggrandizement, was that which was to be the first duty of his leadership. Well, I believe that the writer was absolutely correct. And so again, we see more great biblical wisdom being imparted to him here from his mom. As a king, he was to do what was right in the sight of God, as we're all called to do as the people of God. And so this text applies very broadly to all of us. And as a king, he was to be a champion for the rights of others. He was to champion the rights of others, those who were destitute. Yes, as we read here, the poor and needy. To state the matter as simply as I can, Lemuel was commanded by his mother here to be concerned for others as a king, like the Lord Jesus Christ, who rules over all the world with justice and truth, so also every king in the world is to follow him in this. Now, in mentioning the Lord Jesus Christ, I must say briefly that isn't it glorious to consider that as we think about these last two verses here in verses 8 and 9 of this chapter, we see that our Lord perfectly embodied everything which is mentioned. Dear ones, all of it pointed to and was fulfilled in him. And why? Well, because as our advocate, he daily opens his mouth for us when we are speechless before the Father. As our substitute, he spoke up for us and willingly died in our place for us who were appointed to die. And as our judge and high priest, he does all things well. And daily he pleads our cause to the Father, knowing that spiritually speaking, we are poor and needy. Well, blessed be God then for Jesus Christ, the great King of Kings. Blessed be God that there is no other ruler like Him. So having considered for this evening these grand, these glorious, these very pointed words that King Lemuel gave to us, which his mother uttered to him, what instruction can we take for ourselves? What practical things do we learn from this inspired text of the Bible? Well, there are several things that I want to say by way of admonitions. And so I begin by speaking firstly for this evening to the mothers here. And I say to you, dear moms in this place, never stop instructing your children. Never stop instructing your children. Listen, even a king needed the instruction of his mother. And I say, dear moms in this place, never give up this sacred calling, this spiritual vocation that God has given to you. Never give it up. Daily teach your children. Daily instruct them in the words and in the ways of God, so that when they are older, they will not depart from it, as Solomon says in Proverbs 22 and verse 6. Teach your children with an open book, with an open Bible. Teach them, moms, by your example, by how you live in the home, by how you act towards your husband, by how you dress, by what you watch, by what you say, by how you live. You're teaching all the time your children. Sons and daughters alike. Mothers, if we learn anything from this passage, we learn this much. You are to instruct your children. You are to teach your sons. You are to teach your daughters. And when you feel that you're just completely zonked, you're so tired and they're rebuffing you at this point and that point, oh, go to the great King of Kings and Lord of Lords and ask Him for fresh help and grace. Plead with Christ, oh Lord, this is my sacred calling that You have given me in Your Word. Help me to do it well. Help me to be filled with grace, filled with love. Lord, help me even in those difficult times to teach my child by spanking him or her, knowing that the rod and the reproof give instruction. Lord, help me as a mom to be the kind of mother who constantly is in the business of teaching my child. May God give you help, dear mothers in this place. And when they leave home, the instruction doesn't stop then. We are to teach them at all times. May God give us all help. May God give you moms help. Especially second, for this evening, I speak to you sons in this place, but the same applies for daughters. And I say two things, and the first is, dear sons in this place, being that you have been given a mother, much like Lemuel had in teaching you, you should bless God for your moms. Proverbs 31 and verse 28, her children rise up and call her blessed. That's what you should do. Because you know, as far as I know concerning all the mothers in this place, they're paying a price so that you can be instructed. They are denying themselves, not pursuing the things of the world, not going after riches and vanity and fortune and fame. No, they've decided they're going to obey God and lock themselves into years of teaching you. You should thank them from the bottom of your heart. Oh, Mom, thank you. I know there are other things you can be doing. I know you've got gifts in many areas, but Mom, you're choosing to raise me according to your ways. I bless God for you. I thank God for giving me such a gift in you. But secondly, in speaking to you children here tonight, again, boys, girls, I don't only want you to thank God and your mother for the instruction she gives you, but I also want you to obey that instruction. Obey. When the Bible says, my son, my daughter, hear, the Hebrew word shema, it means to listen with a desire to carry it out. Hear the instruction of your mother. Hear the teaching of your father. Obey them. Insofar as that instruction lines up with the Word of God, carry out what they call you to do with God's help. They've been given as your greatest asset in life, along with your fathers. Obey them. Dear children in this place, may it never be that your moms, having invested so much into your life, may it never be that you don't make good on that investment. Shame on you if this is the case for you. Shame on you if you go after the things of the world and turn your back on Christ, who she's told you about all of your days. May it never be for any children here, whoever you are, that your parents are left scratching their heads. Sons, my son, what is this I hear? That you've thrown off Christ, that you're pursuing sexual lust, that you're pregnant, that you're watching pornography. What is it, my son, of my bowels and my womb? What is this I hear? Having spent so much time with you, having loved you, having prayed for you. Why may it never be in this place? And for some of you young people who are even thinking about going that way, again I say shame on you. You have light. You know the right way to go. Follow Christ and live. If you sin in this area, you sin with a high hand against God. And I pray that you would repent of even thinking about going down the broad path which leads to destruction. And if such a choice is in your heart, cry out that Jesus would save you. Cry out that He would make you a new person. You know the way of life. You know that Christ is the only Savior of sinners. Make good, dear children, on the investment that your parents have put into you. Thirdly, then, let me speak to you fathers in this place and say, men, encourage your wives in their task. Encourage them. Along with teaching your wives the Word of God, as you should, Ephesians 5. Along with instructing them and seeing how and what they're teaching the kids, encourage them, cheer them on. Because being a mom is a hard task. Being a mother, a godly mother, who's seeking to do what God calls her to do, is hard work. So cheer them on. Husbands, our wives have a very high calling in life. And therefore, we must support them as much as we can. Well, as I said in the outset of the message, the influence of a mother cannot be overstated. Many people throughout the world can trace their success to a faithful, godly mother who instructed them. And therefore, as a church, we ought always to honor mothers and motherhood. Let us always, as a congregation, keep mothers in prayer, asking that our great God would continue to help them all of their days to serve Him and their families faithfully. May we as a church have a high regard for them in light of their high calling before Him. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You for this very helpful text of Scripture, which talks to all of us, warns us all against gross sins, sexual and drunkenness, and directs us, O God, to do good and open our mouths and speak for those who are speechless. Young sons and older dads and single moms and wives, people with children, with no children. It matters not, Lord, of the passages for all of us. Might we all learn from Lemuel's mom this evening. And give us help, we pray, God. Keep us in the narrow path that leads to life. And we ask these things in that worthy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.